Side Bet Podcast, March 20th, the Wednesday before one of the best Thursdays of the entire year. Now, round one, NCAA tournament. They call it March Madness for a reason. Jonathan Kinchin, what is like the best? There's so much going on for you. What's the best way to try and take it all in?
I think you need a couple of screens. I think YouTube TV and the March Madness app have some situations where they'll play multiple games on one screen. So if you have two screens set up, you can get away with watching maybe like four, five, six games at a time. Maybe get you an iPad, a laptop out. I need to be able to see a lot of different things. Once upon a time, I went to Vegas for the Thursday and Friday of March Madness. And
that's
that
supposed
was insane.
To be a blast. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Starts early, ends late. So I think just watching as many games as you possibly can this first weekend.
Yeah, as far as sporting events in Vegas, I've never experienced it for the tournament, but as I understand it, it's the tournament, especially that first weekend, followed by the Super Bowl, believe it or not. As you heard, my co-host, Jovanina Kinchin, is here. This time of year, like where, you know, jobs and school and children really just get in the way when we're trying to take in these incredible few days of college basketball. But then it's a little bit different this year. I wanted to give you a chance to discuss or highlight how the significance of the excitement surrounding the women's tournament this year.
The women's tournament is... I think last year it brought in a bunch of people as well because of LSU and Iowa. But this year, it feels like, especially because Caitlin Clark has declared to go to the WNBA and it's your last time to see her play in college, I definitely think there's going to be higher ratings on, you know, watching on TV. But it's also kind of, Jonathan and I will be going to Brooklyn, but if we weren't, the woman, Caitlin Clark's going to be playing in Albany. We would have went to that.
It's must-see. The ratings will be through the roof. Caitlin Clark, Iowa, a number one seed for the first time since 1992. Terrence, the tournament, a family tradition for the Thegees going back many, many years.
Yeah, it's probably my dad's favorite sporting event of the year, and my brother and I enjoy going to the games with them. So every year when there's we live in Cincinnati, Ohio. So there's a lot of regions that happen around here, Indianapolis, Lexington, Louisville, Columbus, Ohio. So I'd say 3 out of 4 years in a row, we can find a region to drive to and catch in the first and second rounds. We've never been to a Final Four, never even gone to a Sweet 16 or Elite Eight. We always kind of hone in on the first and second round and get our money's worth with four games on the first day. Two games on the later day. We've been doing it for more than 20 years. And in fact, 1 year, my dad bought tickets to the regional in Columbus and Lexington, Kentucky on alternating days in the same year. So we took in 12 games in a matter of 4 days, driving back and forth from Columbus, Ohio to Lexington on alternating days.
So how long till you introduce Nolan and Maddie to March Madness?
I was watching. One of the shows after the bracket draw show the other day, and Maddie was asking me some questions about it. So it kind of piqued her interest right now. Nolan, he barely even notices the TV's on.
Maddie loves the eight horse in horse racing. Let's see if she sticks with the eight seed in her brackets. JK, for the better, like the view from 30,000 feet, do you have a specific approach, a format, a strategy that you like to start with from a betting perspective?
One of the things I like to do is I like to get involved in a bracket, you know, kind of contest that can kind of yield a return that fits into my betting appetite, right? Like playing a $100 league where there could be a $3,000 champion if you win that thing. And then I just kind of later when if you can get into a good position, I did last year, I got into a great position where I was able that like one of the only teams I didn't have winning the championship or that was problematic for me that I thought could win the championship was UConn. So I bet them to win the championship. But the other side of the bracket, if they would have won, I would have won a bunch of these tournament bracket things. And so it ended up where I could kind of hedge a little bit there. So I think, you know, I think the one of the most fun things to do is just to have those brackets where you can cheer and root the entire way through. I also think, you know, betting teams to advance to the Sweet 16 is also interesting. You're basically parlaying them to win two games this weekend. Having teams advance to the Final Four, you're parlaying them to win four games in a row. I think that those are some other fun bets. And then outside of that, I think you just, you know, have some fun, take some shots, take some underdogs on the money line. You know, there's that stat about the 5 versus the 12. I don't get too caught up in all of those things because I treat it just like in horse racing. They're all individuals. The teams don't, they don't know or care that they're 12 seeds. They're out there shooting threes, playing defense and rebounding. I don't think they're like, oh, we're a 12 seed. We're going to try harder than if we were an 11 seed. So I think just, you know, trying to find teams that are vulnerable and find teams that are trending. One of the things I like to do is at teamrankings.com, you can look up what a team has been against the spread in every one of their games if they're winning against the spread. I like teams that are overachieving, meaning they're covering spreads. Even if they're losing, they're overachieving. I think those are fun teams to kind of get behind in the tournament.
So one follow-up before we get to the regional breakdown, have you zeroed in on a Cinderella? Is there a high seed that you have your eyes on that you think that can go a lot deeper, a lot farther than anticipated?
I've zeroed in on a pumpkin, is my main approach here. And this is something that 3 weeks ago I declared to my wife. She'll say it was before what happened last weekend. I do not think Houston is very good. I think that they're a good basketball team, but I do not think that they're going to make it very far. And in fact, I have them losing to Nebraska in the second round. So I just don't think they're very good. And unfortunately, the world kind of found out a little bit earlier than I wanted them to when getting blown out by Iowa State.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my approach here, is to get Houston out of there. UConn, I think, is the real deal. And I'm not really a huge North Carolina fan, not because I'm not allowed to be. I can't even wear baby blue things around the house. It's just that I think that they're an up and down type of team as well. So it's less about a Cinderella and more about the pumpkins that I see in this tournament.
Gee, your beloved Blue Devils. All right. Yes. Never mind the ACC tournament and what happened before against the Tar Heels. But I see. But like you said, you're going to be at their first tournament game. Yes, Friday in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center.
Yes, we'll travel. If they keep going, we're going. That's just how it is. We always go with my parents. It's kind of like traditions, like Terrence. It's so fun. It is the best time of the year. It is the only time Jonathan's ever allowed to have two TVs in the living room. And funny that you brought up, you know, if you have a job or kids or school, I have none of those. So I really could just, I mean, obviously we have Austin, who's a wonderful stepchild, but we could just keep going.
I've been to Austin. I'm sure he enjoys it as well. So all the better for family viewing. Can Duke flip the switch? Have they been revealed as perhaps overestimated, or was that just a stumble before they kind of reset and make a real run of this thing?
So watching them, I'm going to take the UNC game out of it. I'm going to just talk about the ACC tournament. I've never seen them play so against each other, it seemed like, when they were playing in the ACC tournament. I don't know if you know, but Jaylen Blake's had basically headbutted Jared McCain when they were warming up, and he got 3 stitches and a very large bandage put on his eye. And he only attempted three threes that entire game, which is very, very unusual. My aunt, who was a college basketball coach, actually called and was like, completely took him right out of the game. Our guards did not show up at all. Our 4 fives, Mark Mitchell and Kyle and Filipowski, they were the only two that like came to play that day. And it was really frustrating to watch because you can't win if you don't have guard play. So I think it was an off game. Something was wrong. And I think they had now a lot of time to practice and figure it out. So hopefully moving forward, they'll start playing like they were playing in the end of the regular season.
And Lafitte, I have Duke going extremely far, and
you better.
Well, yeah, exactly. No, but in real, and you know, this is not just a hey, honey, here's my bracket. You know, can I, you know, will you make something nice for dinner tonight? I'm going to be playing in some bigger contests with this bracket. I don't do multiple brackets. I do the same bracket for everyone. I don't do like a three bracket thing. It's so hard to root for that. But I will say this about Duke, and I'll say this about other basketball teams too, like Kentucky and a couple of others, is that in this new day and age with these freshmen, and you don't have a lot of senior representation, teams change a lot throughout the year. And I've had the privilege of watching every single Duke basketball game, maybe a couple I've missed throughout the entire year. And I will say this, two things. One is when they have had a loss, an upsetting loss where they had no business losing to the team, they come back and they refocus and they play very, very well. The other thing is throughout this year, it hasn't just been one or two guys. It's been spread around where Jeremy Roach was the best player on the court that night. Kyle Filipowski, Mark Mitchell, Jared McCain, Caleb Foster, Tyrese Proctor. It's been a spread around thing. And in my opinion, if three of them can show up a night, they'll beat every single team in college basketball. If they can find those moments where they really, really, really show up and are focused. And I think that loss to NC State might just be that thing that kind of propels them in that direction. And plus, like in this these tournaments, if you want to win money in these brackets, you're not going to win you could win, but you're not with UConn winning it. It's going to be stressful. Mm-hmm. It's going to come down to some other weird thing that, you know, you needed a 12 seed to make sure you had two more points than the other 19 people that had UConn. I prefer when it gets down to the Final Four that I've got a lot of different ways to win. And so we'll see. I'll reveal it later. But,
and I will say NC State did end up going and winning the ACC tournament. They beat UNC and they played five games, 5 days in a row. That's the first time in ever. The first time ever that's ever happened. So they were rolling.
Number four seed in the South in Brooklyn. Duke to face Vermont, 12-point favorites. They play Friday afternoon. Jonathan NG will be there. Terrence, by that time, most of our brackets probably busted. Any bracket constructing advice you can offer?
Yeah, I actually liked hearing what Jonathan had to say there, and it kind of reaffirmed some of my beliefs, so I'm glad to hear him say that. One of the things that I look for is multiple players that can score. And he was mentioning Duke stars, how it can be a different star on any given night. So when I do some research, especially on teams I haven't seen play all year, I like to see four or five guys that can score in double figures. I don't want to see just two or three guys that are scoring in double figures, because if you face a good defense or someone that can shut down a given player, you've got to find those points somewhere. So one of the things I look at is a team that can score, but also the scoring can come from multiple angles.
We all have our pet peeves in sports. Terrence knows one of mine, like the leadoff walk, right? That involves the athletes themselves. Then you have pet peeves of fans or those that construct brackets for the tournament. Terrence, one pet peeve in particular that drives you nuts?
Yeah. And again, another thing Jonathan said, I'm glad to hear him say, because otherwise I was going to have to give him a hard time about it, is that he only does one bracket. I can't stand when people tell me about their other bracket, or when an upset happens and they say, oh, I had that in one of my brackets. Well, yeah, if I did three or four brackets too, I could pick more upsets. Like, just do one bracket. If you want to do three, fine, do three, but don't talk about all three.
I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah, I will admit this. Last year, I did play in one situation where I had Duke and Texas in the final game together. So I did do one where Texas won and one where Duke won, but everything else was exactly the same. So I did that, but you got to give me a break on that when I get a free pass.
Understandable. My other bracket, it's like my other fantasy team. Unless it's your other social media account, like your burner account, nobody cares.
No one cares.
You know what it also nobody is? It's cares. Also, it's the horse racing equivalent of, I almost used that horse.
Yeah.
But you didn't.
Nobody cares. Let's run through the regions. Starting in the East, Defending champs UConn, number one seed JK. This will not be an easy stroll to Phoenix for the Huskies.
No, it's tricky, right? I mean, they drew these champions that weren't top seeds in their conference, but they're still obviously good basketball teams. Iowa State. My biggest regret in these situations, it's happened in horse racing too, and I hate when horses end up in bad parts of the sequence that I want to be able to play pick fives and pick sixes. I love Illinois, and I would have them making the Final Four if they weren't drawn where UConn is. They have a basketball player, Terrence Shannon Jr. This guy he's like James Harden. He gets to the rack and gets fouled at the rate that James Harden does. And they had a good basketball team prior to that, to him coming back. He was out for a while. He got into some trouble. And so I wish that they weren't in there. But, yeah, it's definitely a tough road. Illinois is good. Auburn's good. Iowa State is good. It's not an easy road, but they are the best team in basketball, UConn.
G, your thoughts on their chances to repeat?
So I do think UConn has the hardest road, but I do think they're going to make it to the national championship, whether they win it or not. I obviously have Duke winning, so but they're also, Jonathan didn't mention FAU and San Diego State. Like, San Diego State is the same exact seed as they were last year, and they made it to the Final Four. So they have to, you know, face those teams pretty soon if they make it, you know, to the Sweet 16, second round, etc.
And FAU, I've watched them play a few times this year, and they've got a lot of players back from that team. And Jay Billis, who watches a lot more basketball than me, was actually quoted as saying he believes FAU is better than they were last year. So Placed somewhere else, I could see them making a nasty run at this thing. But golly, one of the things that FAU has is the 7-footer. And I think when they play against some of the teams they play against all year long, he can cause some problems. But he's not going to cause those problems for UConn because they got a couple of 7-footers that are better than he is.
And even the Elite Eight game, if it's UConn-Iowa State, like Iowa State is rolling right now. But
Terrence?
Yeah. And let's not forget about BYU as well. They're a pretty solid team. And you know how it is in March. If someone gets hot and they start making their threes, you know, look out for them. And BYU is second in the country in 3-point attempts and second in the country in 3-pointers made per game with more than 11 per game. So another dangerous team in there. If this was a pick five or pick six in terms of horse racing for our horse racing fans, you know, I'd have to use about 7 or 8 horses to get out of, to feel comfortable about getting out of this this bracket alive. I think that there's a lot of teams in there that could get hot and get rolling.
It's deep.
The one thing I'll add about BYU is you're right. They do shoot a lot of threes. They're one of those teams that if they're making, they can make it all the way. They're a team that if they're making their threes, they'll make it all the way till they could beat UConn and make it all the way to the Final Four. If they're making all their threes, they shoot that many of them. And the other thing about BYU is because of the way that BYU works with the ties to Mormonism, they have a lot of older players. They don't have a lot of young players because a lot of guys will go do their missions and then come. But I will say this, if you watch BYU, I just want you guys to remember that I said this when you see him. They have this big guy that wears a headband that shoots threes. He shoots like a big guy that shoots threes, but he's kind of like very unathletic looking. He looks like that guy at the rec center that doesn't miss when he shoots from three, but he has no business making it from three. It's exactly what he looks like. It's hilarious.
They can't play on Sundays.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Can't play on
Sundays. Yeah,
it is.
Some people think that it had some that their seeding and how they all unfolded might have had something to do with that.
See these things that you learn listening to the Side Bet podcast. You may not have
the
been
more you aware know
of, aware of. You may not have been aware of prior. For UConn, they don't have to get on a plane until, assuming and if they make it to the Final Four, the flight to Phoenix, they don't have to get on a flight until then. All right, so that's the East. As UConn tries to go back to back in the West, North Carolina, do they have the easiest path to the Final Four, Jonathan?
You know, I don't think so because I don't have them making the Elite Eight. In fact, I don't have them making the Sweet 16. I have them losing in the second round. Mississippi State's pretty damn good. They're rolling now. Even if Tom Izzo shows up, no one ever wants to play Tom Izzo with Michigan State. I don't think they're going to win. I think Mississippi State will, but you don't want to play him. Alabama is one of the most efficient teams in offense in the entire country. They'll score 90 on you before you blink. Clemson, sneaky good. they don't want to have to play them. Baylor, another good basketball team. Dayton, to me, is the best kind of Cinderella type team. And then they got to deal with Arizona. I don't think they have the easiest path, and I think they get beat.
Your chance to club away at NC, at North Carolina G.
I know. I'm going to be as respectful as I can. I think they're going to make it a bit farther than what Jonathan is saying, mainly because it's Baycott's last, it's going to be his last national tournament. And he's a freak when he wants to be a freak. He's a very good basketball player.
He's a freak. One of my favorite college sports signs I've ever seen was someone at College Game Day when Duke played North Carolina say, "Armando Baycott looks like I drew him with my left hand."
Wild. I think that they are going to lose to Arizona in the Elite Eight. And I think Caleb Love, who used to play on UNC, is going to come out there and get a little revenge. Speaking of Alabama, yeah, Alabama scores 90 points, but they also let their opponents score 90 to 100 because they don't play defense. And I was listening to Jay Billis talk as well, and he was saying about Alabama and Kentucky specifically, how they are great offensive teams. Kentucky's a little less just because sometimes they show up and sometimes they don't. But you have to play defense in this tournament. You're not going to make it if you don't.
That was your sign, wasn't it, G?
That was my sign.
That was your sign, no?
No, it wasn't. Oh, you know, I have a few. It's honestly funny. And this is like, Armando Baycott is, he's been there for forever. And he says the ACC runs through him and he hasn't never won an ACC championship, conference championship. So like, I don't think the ACC runs through you, my guy. But also like, it's the underbite that gets me. You don't see too many like humans with an underbite. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot.
If he was your own, he'd be cute.
We don't even call them Tar Heels in this house. We call them the Tar Holes.
The cleaned up version. So we're looking for the underbite at North Carolina and rec center guy at BYU. Terrence, what else big picture are we looking for in the West?
Yeah, and just real quick, I had made that note for us about North Carolina, the easiest path to the finals, Final Four, I should say. But then after doing some research last night, I think it is probably Purdue over in the Midwest. I think the Midwest bracket probably looks the weakest now, especially with a key injury to Kansas. But we'll get to that bracket in a minute. One of the things I'm looking at is Alabama, as Jonathan mentioned. They're the only team in the country that averages more than 90 a game. And as G reminded us, they also give up quite a few points. I'm hoping we get to see a St. Mary's Alabama second round game. Because we're going to see one of the better defenses in the country against that Alabama offense. St. Mary's allows the second fewest points per game in the country, under 60 a game, and Alabama, of course, scoring more than 90. So it'll be one of those what has to give games.
That's the West to the South, Jonathan. So North Carolina in the West, as you mentioned, you don't expect them to go. You're not expecting much. And you've already mentioned how vulnerable Houston looks limping in to this tournament coming off that massive shellacking in the Big 12 title game.
Yeah, look, I'm going to have Nebraska beating Houston. Nebraska's pretty good. I mean, I know that they've kind of athletically become a little bit of a punchline to what I think they once were, especially in football. They're pretty darn good in basketball. They got a lot of guys that can shoot it. They got a really fun player to watch. This Japanese kid, I can't even get close to pronouncing his name, wears a headband, but he also kind of talks a little trash. It's kind of I'm not trying to be weird, but it's interesting to see. It's not something you see every day, right? And so that's pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, I think I watched, like we talked about during football season with Terrence and his Bengals and Lafitte and your Raiders and the Dodgers, I would imagine the same thing. Mm-hmm. You watch so much, you really truly develop a true understanding of who the team is, right? If I watched every Alabama game, I would have a better understanding of who Alabama is. Are they going to get scored on at will by teams that look like A, B, and C? And that's just gives me the confidence to create a situation with Duke. It's very similar to horse racing too. And I see a horse that I've seen and I've handicapped seven of their races and I've seen every scenario the horse has been in, on the pace, off the pace, missing the break, missing a work, all these things, you have more confidence because you have a better identity of a better idea of who they are. And that's how I feel about Duke. I think they're going to go far. I think Kentucky and them will meet in the Elite Eight. I think Duke will beat Kentucky because, like we've talked about, Kentucky's very good on offense, but they're not great on defense. And I think that the advantage should go to Duke there. So I'll have them making it out of that region.
Yeah. Familiarity. Gee, it's interesting. If you're watching your favorite team play in any sport, and maybe the commentators are impressed because they've opened up a 15-point lead, and you can still be watching and say, yeah, but you can diagnose and recognize something right away that they're not doing when they're playing at their optimum level.
Of course. And, you know, like I said in the beginning, it's very easy to see when Duke is not playing at their optimum level, especially because when they're on, they're really freaking good. I think one thing that everyone's kind of talking about in this region is James Madison. It's the 5-12. There's always a 12 that beats a 5 type vibe. And James Madison's 31-3. And they're also the James Madison Dukes, which I think is really funny. So, you know, obviously my nerves, hopefully if, you know, we get past the first round, my nerves are a little high for that second round with a Duke-James Madison matchup, if that's what happens. But I'm similar with Jonathan with how far Kentucky's gonna go. I think Florida went on a little run in their conference tournament as well. I actually think Florida might beat Marquette, to be honest. But this, it's hard for me to even talk about the South because, like, I'm literally shaking because I just want Duke to make it as far as possible.
And I will say this about James. Go ahead. I will say this about James Madison. So one of the things that I think that if you're playing a bracket or you're betting these games, I've found these KenPom stats to be very, very good. And they go into efficiency and pace, and you read some of the articles of the math behind some of the numbers he comes up with. It's pretty impressive. And I played around with this thing last year and also with this year, where I've not only taken the offensive efficiency of a team that they have ranked, but I compare that with their defensive schedule efficiency. So who they've played on defense. So yes, they're the number one ranked offense in the college basketball, but they haven't been playing anyone that's very efficient on defense. This does not, they do not have James Madison ranked very high. They have them ranked high as a team, but once you take into account who they've been playing, that efficiency doesn't look as sexy as it might look at first glance. I don't really worry about them if they have to play Duke.
Terrence, you don't have to go very far down the analytics rabbit hole to find that Kentucky can flat out shoot the lights out.
Yeah, they're one of those teams that can score several different ways at you, and that's something, like I said earlier, that I like coming into this tournament. So I certainly wouldn't want to face Kentucky. I am hoping later on down the road, I'm hoping we get a Duke-Kentucky Christian Laettner Elite Eight kind of matchup there. That would be entertaining. And Houston being a defensive team that we've seen have success over the past couple of years, they're a very good basketball team. They were exposed a little bit in that championship, the Big 12 championship game against Iowa. I would also just, I feel like Houston's defense against an offense such as Kentucky or maybe Duke would probably bend a little bit more than they would maybe be able to keep up with. I've seen them play a couple of times this year. Jonathan G, I know you guys have probably seen Houston a bit more. I don't know if you would agree with that. Just in general, I think that defense can only take you so far against these high-scoring offenses.
I agree with you, Terrence. As far as if it were to ever be a Houston-Duke matchup, I'm hoping my husband is right with Houston losing to Nebraska. Duke doesn't play well with that. We saw that last year with Tennessee. Houston's rough. You know, it is like they're playing, you know, out there and they're pounding you.
They got some older guys.
And they have older guys, and they're not afraid to be very physical, and Duke does not agree with that.
But if you can respond to that, It definitely is something. And they have a guard, and I can't remember his first name. His last name is Shed. I mean, he's like, you know, he could get to the rack and score, but he's also physical on defense. I think that Duke or someone like Duke could throw enough guards at them. But yeah, and look, those KenPom stats, he's got an entire article with all kinds of, you know, equations explaining how in college basketball, there is a premium on offense. A good offense can really still excel against a good defense. And a bad offense can still have some success against a good defense. Vice versa doesn't happen very often. And so they kind of focus on why offense is more important, which is also something I kind of go with. I'm looking at this in this tournament. I'm looking more for offense. Because part of being good on defense is the ability to prepare and execute, which goes away in this tournament when you only have one day to prepare.
This pendulum swings both ways, Jonathan. Like, I've asked G how animated and ridiculous you are watching an important UT football game, or if you're at an important UT football game, what's G like at? Like, what will she be like at the Barclays Center watching Duke, specifically if it's close in like the last 5 minutes?
I'm making sure she's not winking at me, like asking me to please. Okay.
Tone it down, man.
It's insane. It's insane. She screams. She curses. If there's kids around us, she'll keep it tight. But if it's a bunch of adults,
don't bring your kids, people. Keep them home.
There'll be F-bombs. There'll be the whole thing. She's yelling at the refs. Yeah. I mean, she.
My mother, Nancy Salivo, is 50 times worse than me. Jonathan and my dad sometimes get animated, but they usually just sit there shaking their heads at us.
It's wild. It's very, very intense, but it's fun. It's fun. It's look, I'm one of those people that like sports is fun because of the passion behind it. If she didn't care, I wouldn't enjoy going to the games. I'll just sit on the couch and watch it. She's wild.
Here's my thing. Just a little bit of a background, because everyone's going to listen to this and be like, that girl is insane when it comes to Duke. Like, Duke has like brought me and my parents so close and so much joy. Like, I literally was talking to them about it the other night, just how grateful I was to have these opportunities and like to see sporting events. And I started like crying, you know. It is so much more than just like basketball for us. And so when we do get so animated and so upset when they lose, like there are tears sometimes, but there's more to it than just a basketball game.
Way to disarm everyone, sister. That was impressive. That was well done. I do want, does Mrs. Salive, does she listen to this? I want to see the look on her face.
Oh, she's, I guarantee you right now, Nance, stop crying. 100% she's crying. In fact, we might be in the car together driving down to Brooklyn when she actually listens to this, because she's getting much better with her tech, but sometimes, you know, the podcast could be a little looser for her, but we'll listen to it while we're driving down. She's definitely crying right now.
Thanks a lot, team player. All right, so I don't have a dog in the fight. Best of luck, G, with Duke. You're happy. We're all happy. Terrence, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. Before we move on from that division, I was interested in Jonathan and G's take on NC State, because you talked a little bit about how they made that run in the ACC tournament. And when you get to this time of year, you get a bunch of novice fans that just started watching, that saw NC State win that ACC tournament, and will likely be picking them against a team like Texas Tech. Do you think NC State has the capability of winning a game or maybe two in this tournament, or will their luck have run out?
Well, I think when you find a way to lose 14 games throughout the regular season, it says a little bit about some potential holes and some inefficiencies that you have. North Carolina did not, they did not beat a shown up North Carolina team. They did not beat a shown up Duke team. They beat two teams that didn't show up in a conference championship tournament. So, look, they're ranked 50th Palm. They're an 11 seed for a reason. They're going to have to play tough games because they don't have the luck of having a higher seed to try to overcome any bad games. I have them losing to Texas Tech.
I agree with you.
Go ahead, G.
I think that Burns, their big middle center, I do, like, I don't know if you guys watched the ACC championship, but like my guy couldn't run up and down the floor anymore. He was tired, and I know that he's gotten like some rest and stuff, but the stamina is just, I don't think it's going to be there. you know, what do you call it? The ebbs and flow.
The peaks and valleys.
The peaks and valleys. I feel like they hit that peak and they're about to hit a valley. And I also just need to say one thing about this KenPom stuff. It almost led to like me and Jonathan getting divorced. We were in New York City once and he was just on his computer typing away all these KenPom stuff. And I was like, could we leave the room or do we have to stay in the room so you could get all of your figures together?
Dang. The truth comes out.
I was going to say, we go back to Italy for that as well.
Yes.
Yeah. It's always, whether it's the, any sport, any tournament, it's always their overall body of work versus how that team is trending, how they're going into the tournament in which you weight more significant. All right. So that's the South to the Midwest. And I guess, again, we start with the top seed and Jonathan, Purdue. Is Purdue going to Purdue again this year?
I think they'll do fine. I think they'll, you know, losing that conference championship game, and you know, they've another team that's been up and down, but they really do have a good recipe to win basketball games. They have Zach Edey who can make his own bucket, but he can also attract a lot of fouls and he can get teams into foul trouble. They also are very efficient from three. I mean, they're a good basketball team, but I think that if you have a ref that is not sympathetic to them when that whistle's in his mouth and he doesn't blow it, it does cause some confusion for them. So I think somewhere along the line, they'll get beat. I have them losing to Creighton. I think Creighton is extremely good. I think, we'll go ahead and say it now. I have Creighton in the Final Four. I think Creighton will beat Purdue. But I think Purdue will make a nice little run and get a little bit deeper than they have in the past.
I definitely don't think Purdue is going to lose in the first round again. As much as I wish. I also think that, Terrence, you put in here that their points per game this season has gone up about 11 about points.
Yeah.
I also think that's because Zach Edey has found himself to get himself to the free throw line a lot more this year than he did last year. There's just something about him that just really irks me, guys. And I can't even pinpoint it. I also have Creighton in the Final Four, and that's funny because Jonathan and I didn't even talk about that. The other little matchup I want to talk about is Kansas and Samford. Kansas, Hunter Dickinson was hurt, but he is coming back and will be playing. And then Kevin McCullough.
It's a tough one.
It's a tough one because I have a speech impediment. I can't say my R's and L's. Y'all will start picking up on that. But he's out. So I think the Samford Bulldogs are going to beat Kansas. And I'm also just for Samford because they are the Bulldogs and we have a French Bulldog.
As good a reason as any, plus the lack of depth. Kansas has 0-0 depth. I saw some point breakdown of what their bench average is. It's nothing. And without McCullough, I think that is as trendy as an upset pick as we're going to see in the first round.
And the thing about it is, too, I wish that I believed in Samford or they were in a position where I could have them going further. I mean, I'm going to have them beat Kansas, but I can't have them go further. Bulldogs versus Bulldogs against Gonzaga. I think Gonzaga will beat him. But I will say this also about Hunter Dickinson. I can't remember the guy's name. You guys have all seen the Pro Football Talk doctor or whatever that's always on the internet, on Twitter, that you know gives you the updates on the injuries. He was saying that he felt like it was going to be a 50-50 thing based on the injury if Hunter Dickinson was going to play. And then he said if he does play, he's going to be limited. One of the things that I've said about Hunter Dickinson since we watched him play in Chicago when they played Kentucky, he has the worst body language in college basketball for a good player. He's just pouty, things don't go his way. So when that ankle or that injury or that foot doesn't start feeling good, I don't trust that he's going to pull them out of the fire against a team in Samford who's really good, who plays at a high pace as well. I have Kansas losing as well.
Like as bad or worse than Aaron Rodgers when things are going wrong.
Oh, worse. Because Aaron Rodgers has Rodgers has a Super Bowl and a potential vice president candidacy. So he's got a lot more
to stand on. Oh, no. You said it. I was going to say, I have so much to talk about him, y'all.
So much more to lean on.
Terrence, Kansas, yeah. I mean, this is the thing. It's upside down if they don't have their four scores beyond that, very little to offer. I just feel like whenever there's this much momentum behind an upset, you start to want to play the other side.
Yeah, that seems to be, like I said, the trendy pick among all the experts that I've seen on TV too. And, you know, I feel like Kansas and Gonzaga there are kind of grouped together. Is it just me, or is Gonzaga getting much less respect than they normally do? Are they that much inferior than they were in previous years? I feel like no one giving any love to Gonzaga right now. Kansas, of course, was better earlier in the year, now with the injuries. But I feel like those are two, I guess, big name programs that people are just assuming are going to be out of this tournament early.
Yeah, Gonzaga's not the team that they've normally been.
No.
They're not as good as they normally have been throughout. You know, they usually run through their conference. You know, they lost to St. Mary's in the conference championship. They lost to St. Mary's. They lost to Santa Clara. They lost to San Diego State. They lost to UConn. They lost to Washington. You know, they're not how they usually come in, you know, like McNeese State does, 31-3 or something crazy like that. But that's they're not that same team. They can still make a run. They don't seem to be the same dominant team they've been in the past.
Before we get to unveiling Final Four and championship selections, Jonathan, you're UT. What can we expect from Texas?
You know, it's I'm just a little disappointed the way they played throughout the season. They really underachieved at times, and they overachieved a handful of times. But they underachieved a lot more than they overachieved, and then they were just who we thought they were. A lot. I think that they'll beat Colorado State. I'm hopeful. In fact, if I didn't go to Texas, I would probably pick Colorado State. But I think Tennessee's.
You didn't watch much of the game last night. Colorado State is bad.
Okay, good.
So, well, like,
are they bad, or is Virginia that bad?
Well, both are bad. That was an embarrassment. It was hard to watch. The one thing about Colorado State is that they start four graduates and one senior.
Oh, that's great. So. Yeah, I mean, we just I'm hoping we beat Colorado State. Tennessee is going to blow our doors off.
No, come on, revenge from last year, baby. Let's go, Texas.
No, ladies first. Ladies first. Gee, who's playing in Phoenix? Final Four.
Final Four. I have UConn, Arizona, Duke, and Creighton, and then I have a UConn Duke national championship with Duke winning.
And you didn't know that Jonathan was this high on Creighton?
No, yeah. That was so weird.
Pretty good. Yeah. Terrence, your Final Four.
I went with Illinois. I like them quite a bit as well. Like Jonathan mentioned, that bracket's tough, but I went with Illinois. I went with Baylor, a couple of three seeds in that Final Four there. And then another three seed, Kentucky and Purdue. And as an Indiana fan, it really pains me to put Kentucky and Purdue in my Final Four. But I tried to remain as unbiased as possible there and ended up there. And I have Purdue beating Illinois in an all Big Ten final, even though I think the Big Ten was much weaker than it has been in the past. I still ended up with Purdue beating Illinois in the championship.
That's such an Ohio, thing of you to do.
It is.
Your Final Four, Jonathan, make it official.
Yep, UConn, Alabama, Creighton, and Duke. Duke and UConn in the finals with Duke winning.
There you have it. And G, no F-bombs in front of children at the Barclays Center, no matter what happens. You promise?
My thing is if you bring your child to a sporting event, there's going to be some swearing. Austin's seen it all, and he's 12.
I can't wait till your mom hears this. It's going to be so good. Thanks so much for joining us on the Side Bet Podcast. We'll see you next time.